This podcast is sponsored by the book, The Concept, A Critical and Honest Look at God and Religion, by Bo Bennett, PhD. Challenge your beliefs and explore faith through science and reason. Discover more at godtheconcept.com.
All right, so today we're going to be looking at something through a bit of a different lens. Mm-hmm. We're going to be tackling the book of Ephesians.
Okay.
But not necessarily from a faith perspective.
Right.
We're going to be looking at it with a curious and critical eye.
Okay.
Kind of like if historians were examining an artifact.
All right, so looking at it through a secular lens.
Yeah, exactly.
Really interesting.
And, you know, Ephesians is kind of like a letter,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of a general message that was circulating among these early Christian communities.
Right.
And it's really focused on unity and how to live righteously.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Some of the teachings in Ephesians
yeah.
feel a little at odds with kind of our modern day sensibilities and values.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's kind of where the fun begins.
Yeah.
You know, unpacking some of those contradictions and seeing what we can learn from that.
That's right.
So
it's all about understanding the historical context
yeah.
and seeing how these ideas from so long ago, mm-hmm. they kind of bump up against
yeah.
our modern world.
Okay, so let's jump right in
okay.
to one of the more striking examples
yeah.
of something that feels a little bit off to the modern reader.
Sure.
And this is the idea of hierarchical relationships.
Okay.
Specifically, Ephesians 5.22.24
right.
instructs wives to submit to their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we even approach that
well,
through a modern lens?
I think the first thing is to acknowledge how patriarchal
okay.
the structure of society was back then.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't just about male dominance.
Yeah.
You know, a household stability,
uh-huh.
their legal standing,
yeah.
even their economic survival
okay.
really depended on the male head of the household.
So it's not as simple as saying, oh, these people were just sexist back then.
Right, yeah.
There were these really complex social and economic factors
absolutely.
That were at play.
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So within that context then,
right.
submission maybe didn't mean the same thing.
Exactly.
Night at
Might.
Bed.
To a modern reader today.
It's not necessarily about like blind obedience.
Yeah.
There's actually debate among scholars about the nuances of the original Greek word.
Okay.
But some argue that it implies more of a cooperative type of partnership.
Okay.
Where the wife voluntarily yeah. defers to her husband's leadership.
Which is still rooted in a patriarchal structure.
Sure.
But it's just, it adds a whole other layer.
It does.
Of complexity
yeah.
to thinking about that.
Exactly. And that's what's so interesting about this kind of work
yeah.
is that we have to go beyond just the surface level reading
yeah.
and really dig into the cultural and linguistic nuances
absolutely.
Of these ancient texts.
And speaking of challenging passages,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
there's that section on slavery in Ephesians 6.5-9.
Right.
Which says that slaves should obey their masters.
Yeah.
This one is obviously a huge
oh, yeah.
point of contention.
Of course.
For modern readers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can we reconcile this idea with our modern understanding of human rights?
It's so important to remember that slavery was just completely normal
right.
in the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
There were no big movements
right.
to abolish slavery.
Yeah.
And even the people that disagreed with it
yeah.
morally,
mm-hmm.
they probably didn't see a way to actually end it.
So they were operating within a system.
Totally.
That they just couldn't change.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some scholars
mm-hmm.
suggest that passages like this
mm-hmm.
that talk about slaves obeying masters
yeah.
were meant to provide
right.
practical guidance on how to navigate
yes.
this unjust reality.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
Maybe even encourage
mm-hmm.
masters to treat their slaves.
Yeah.
With a little bit more compassion.
Some Christian compassion, yeah.
But there's no denying it just completely clashes.
Oh, absolutely.
With our understanding of slavery today.
Yeah.
It's kind of a stark reminder.
It is.
Of how far we've come morally.
Of sure.
But also how much work we still have to do.
Yeah.
When it comes to addressing systemic injustices.
Absolutely.
So that's one thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
When we look at these ancient texts.
For sure.
Let's shift gears a little bit here.
Okay.
And talk about the armor of God metaphor.
All right.
In Ephesians 6.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Where believers are putting on armor
mm-hmm.
to defend themselves against evil.
Right.
This imagery, I think, feels
yeah.
very foreign to a secular mindset.
Right.
So how do we begin to approach that?
Well, I think what's fascinating here is how the metaphor reflects the worldview back then.
Okay.
early Christians believed in a very real spiritual realm.
Okay.
And it was populated with these forces, mm-hmm. both good and bad.
Yeah.
Benevolent and malevolent.
Right.
Think about the stories of Jesus casting out demons.
Yeah.
They saw these as real entities that could actually influence people's thoughts and actions.
So this armor of God then wasn't just some symbolic or metaphorical concept.
Right.
It was a practical guide to surviving.
Exactly.
In what they perceived to be a very dangerous and unpredictable world.
Absolutely.
And each piece of armor that had a specific meaning.
It did,
right?
Yes.
Like the belt of truth, mm-hmm. the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith.
Right.
All of these were virtues that could protect these believers from spiritual attacks.
Yes. It's a really powerful metaphor, especially for people who were facing real persecution and hardship.
It makes me think about how we still use metaphors of warfare today. Even in totally secular contexts.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about battling disease or fighting for social justice.
Absolutely.
We use that language of conflict all the time.
Yeah, it's ingrained in us.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe even though we don't believe in literal demons anymore.
Yeah.
We still face challenges.
Of course.
And struggles.
Yeah.
That can feel really overwhelming.
Yeah.
So maybe the armor of God can be reinterpreted.
Right.
For a modern context.
Yeah.
As a way to encourage us to cultivate our inner strength.
Yeah, to face those internal battles.
So as we kind of wrap up here, what can we take away from exploring Ephesians through this secular lens?
I think it all comes back to the idea that even these ancient texts have really valuable insights, you know, about the human condition.
Yeah.
And we don't have to take everything literally
to
appreciate its historical and cultural significance.
It really challenges us.
It does.
To engage in critical thinking.
Yeah.
Question our assumptions.
Absolutely.
And appreciate the complexity of how our morality has evolved.
Yeah.
And I think even if we disagree
with
some of the things in the text, wrestling with those ideas can really deepen our understanding of history, of culture, and ultimately of ourselves.
And I think that's one of the most exciting things about this approach.
It's a reminder that the journey of understanding is always ongoing.
Absolutely.
And even texts that feel really distant or challenging can still spark meaningful reflection for us today.
For sure.
Well, thanks for joining me on this journey.
This was great. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Through Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
And until next time.
All right.
Happy reflecting, everyone.
Okay. Bye.